Welcome to BI Insight. You know, imagine handing the keys to your company's most complex, carefully crafted, mission-critical Power BI model to an intern. But an intern who drinks 12 espressos a minute, works at the speed of light, and occasionally just completely hallucinates.
Yeah, that's essentially what enabling agentic AI feels like. It absolutely should send a shiver down your spine.
Right, because we hear the hype constantly, like AI is going to do our jobs for us. But letting a large language model loose inside your semantic model is terrifying.
Oh, completely. If you go in blind, you aren't automating your workflow. You're just automating a disaster, but, you know, at scale.
Exactly. So today we're taking a stack of notes on agentic AI in Power BI and Microsoft Fabric. And the mission for this deep dive is to break down exactly how you, assuming you're a beginner, can set up your very first agentic task.
And our secondary mission, which I'd argue is even more important, is highlighting the absolute most critical safety tips. Because you have to protect your semantic models from that automated chaos we just mentioned.
Yeah, we're stripping away the theory today. We're looking at a highly practical, hands-on scenario using GitHub Copilot and VS Code to refactor a real Power BI model.
So we are essentially putting you in the driver's seat. We want to show you how to hand the wheel over to the AI while keeping both of your hands hovering inches from the steering column.
Just ready to grab it if things go south. Let's look at the mess we are pointing this AI at first. The source material outlines a scenario that anyone who has spent even a little time in Power BI is going to recognize instantly.
Oh, the scattered measure problem.
Yes. A semantic model with 54 measures, completely unorganized, just scattered haphazardly across multiple tables, no display folders, no underlying logic whatsoever.
It's a nightmare.
It's like having your clothes scattered in every single room of your house instead of neatly organized in a wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
And doing this manual cleanup, you know, dragging, dropping, typing out folder names 54 separate times is incredibly slow. It's mind-numbing.
It really is the pinnacle of tedious grunt work. I mean, it requires strict logic and consistency, but zero high-level business strategy, which actually makes it the perfect candidate for an agentic task.
Right. But a beginner can't just, you know, open a chat window, yell, "Organize my measures," and expect magic to happen.
Definitely not. The environment setup is where your safety protocols begin. The very first step is that you must open your specific project folder in VS Code.
Now, I have to ask, why does the physical folder matter so much to a cloud-based AI?
Because Copilot needs to be grounded in the current workspace context. If you don't explicitly define the boundaries of the house it's supposed to be cleaning, an LLM will just invent a house.
Yeah.
By opening that specific folder, you are restricting its vision to your actual files. That prevents it from hallucinating structural ideas that have nothing to do with your specific project.
That makes perfect sense. Keep its eyes on the actual prize.
Mm.
But the source notes detail a very specific technical hookup for step one that feels a bit, I don't know, arcane.
You're talking about the local port.
Yeah. You have to run your Power BI desktop instance locally, and it explicitly mentions routing the AI to the local server port. Specifically, localhost colon 52776. Mm. Why do I need to hard code a port? That feels like something the software should just figure out on its own.
Well, relying on the software to quote-unquote figure it out is exactly how you introduce non-deterministic behavior.
Meaning it might guess wrong.
Exactly. When you provide the exact localhost port in your prompt,
yeah,
you are giving the AI deterministic connection routing. You're basically telling it, do not guess where the active memory state of my machine is. Here is the exact physical address of the data model that is currently open on my screen.
An AI needs a physical door to walk through, not a conceptual one.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, so we're locking down the address, but there is one final toggle required in this beginner setup. You have to go into the config tools in VS Code and check the box for Power BI Modeling M-CP. We definitely need to unpack that acronym.
Sure. MCP stands for the Model Context Protocol.
Right.
And honestly, it is the entire bridge that makes this whole thing possible.
How so?
Well, large language models, by their very nature, they live in a text-only void. They generate words, they don't have hands, they cannot click buttons, or rewrite underlying software architecture on their own.
They're essentially brains in a jar.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
A perfect way to visualize it. The Model Context Protocol is what connects that brain in a jar to a robotic arm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. By enabling that MCT server, you're giving Copilot the specific API tools to reach outside of its little text bubble and manipulate the underlying tabular object model, the TOM of your Power BI file.
Without it, I assume you just have a chatbot.
Exactly. Without it, it's just a chatbot giving you friendly advice on how you could organize your model. But with it, you have an agent that's actually capable of executing the code.
Okay, so the AI is in the house. It has the exact address. And we've given it the robotic arm to do the heavy lifting. But if you just tell this caffeinated intern to clean up, it might decide your favorite jacket belongs in the trash. How do we actually communicate with it safely?
This is where we shift into the planning phase. In our source example, the user switches into ask mode, and they specifically select the Claude Haiku 4.5 model.
Which I found interesting because Haiku is on the free licensing plan. They didn't use a massive reasoning model like Claude Opus or GPT-4.
Well, organizing 54 measures doesn't really require deep philosophical reasoning. It requires speed and pattern recognition. Haiku is incredibly fast and, you know, cost-effective. But honestly, the model choice is less important than the prompt itself.
The prompt is everything.
Exactly. The user provided a highly specific directive. They basically said, connect to the model, make a dedicated table, group the measures, and then move them.
That level of specificity prevents the AI from getting creative.
It creates a rigid framework. And because the prompt was so specific, Copilot responded in ask mode with a highly structured 7-step process.
Right. I remember that from the notes. It laid out the whole sequence, connecting, taking inventory, building the table, planning folders, moving the items, validating, and then hiding the old tables.
It essentially repeated the instructions back to the user as a formal project plan.
And once you see that plan and verify it isn't completely unhinged, the source shows the user switching from ask mode over to plan mode. You prompt the AI to build a concrete implementation sequence based on that theory. But here's where the workflow did something incredibly counterintuitive.
Oh, the reading assignment.
Yes, the reading assignment. I was reading the source and I was like, wait a second. You tell the AI to build the plan and prep for implementation. You explicitly ask it to include user feedback checks. But instead of just doing the work, it generates 5 different markdown files and dumps them into your workspace.
Yep, right into the folder.
Suddenly, I have a reattance.md, a processflow.md, and implementationchecklist.md. I mean, wait, I thought the AI was going to do the work for me. Why is it giving me a reading assignment? I want an automated assistant to save me time, not hand me a stack of paperwork.
It does feel like a bureaucratic nightmare at first glance, I'll give you that. But this reading assignment is arguably the single most important safety feature of the entire agentic architecture.
Really? I am genuinely struggling to see how reading 5 markdown files is saving me time.
Okay, think about a master surgeon. Yeah. You wouldn't want them walking into the operating room, taking one look at the patient and just winging it based on some hidden internal thought process, right?
No, definitely not.
You want them to write their exact incision plan step by step on a whiteboard before they ever pick up a scalpel.
Because if their hidden thought process is flawed, the patient dies.
Exactly. And the exact same principle applies to your semantic model. Large language models operate on a hidden chain of thought. If you let an agent interact with a critical business asset while its logic remains completely hidden, a hallucination translates directly into deleted data.
Or corrupted architecture.
Right. By forcing the AI to generate those markdown files, you are essentially forcing it to write its incision plan on the whiteboard.
It is emptying its brain onto the desk. So the process flow file is the surgical plan, and the implementation checklist is basically the AI's working memory.
Yes, exactly. It allows you to audit the logic before a single live change touches your actual data. It creates total transparency.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense when you frame it like that. So once you review that whiteboard and confirm the logic is sound, you can finally move to step 3, which is execution.
Right. You instruct Copilot to follow the readme. You switch from plan mode into agent mode, but, and this is crucial, you do not just hit play and walk away. You set the permissions to default approvals.
Which brings us to a really critical distinction made in the source material. We need to talk about the difference between a feedback loop and human in the loop, or HITL, because I feel like the industry throws these terms around like they're interchangeable.
Oh, they definitely do. But they are functionally opposites when it comes to risk management. Let's look at a concrete failure scenario with a standard feedback loop.
Okay, let's hear it.
Suppose you unleash an agent to clean up those 54 measures. It works in the background for 5 minutes. You review the final outburn and realize it didn't just move your critical net revenue measure. It accidentally deleted it entirely.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now you have to spend an hour diving through version history trying to revert the damage. You are providing feedback after the disaster has already occurred.
Trial and error on a live model, that sounds incredibly stressful.
It is entirely reckless. Human in the loop, however, means you are the physical gatekeeper at every single critical juncture. In our scenario, Copilot literally pauses its execution. The prompt pops up. Can I connect to the semantic model?
And you have to manually click allow.
Yes. Then it works for a second and pauses again. Mm. Can I list all the measures? You review the request, you click allow.
It literally treats you like a manager signing off on individual purchase orders.
It does. And it goes beyond just binary yes or no approvals. The source demonstrates a deeply interactive process. Like when the AI inventoried those 54 measures, it paused and actually presented three distinct multiple choice options for the folder structure.
I remember this. Option A was preserve the current structure. Option B was group logically by business domain. And option C was custom organization.
Right. And our user typed B into the chat. And the AI analyzed the actual names and the DAX logic of the measures, figuring out that, you know, total sales belonged in a finance folder, while employee headcount belonged in HR.
It acted as a consultant, not just a blind script.
Exactly. But we really need to highlight a massive flashing warning from the text right here. During the SAIS, Copilot offered a highly tempting shortcut.
The autopilot mode.
Yes, it presented an autopilot mode.
A button that basically says, stop bothering me with all these approvals and just do the work. And the user in our source material actually clicked it.
They did, but only because they were operating on a disposable sample test model and they wanted to keep the demonstration concise. The warning to you, the listener sitting at your desk, is that you must avoid autopilot on a real, unrecoverable semantic model. Full stop.
Don't do it.
Never. Remaining in that human-in-the-loop posture, reviewing each step manually, is the only mechanism that turns a highly risky automated script into a controlled professional workflow.
Do not let the caffeinated intern drive the sports car while you take a nap in the backseat.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's say the AI finishes the task. It followed the markdown plan, we approved the critical steps, and it proudly declares implementation complete. But when we actually switch windows and look at the Power BI desktop file, we get a major jump scare.
Yeah, you open the file expecting this pristine, beautifully organized model, but instead the interface flags multiple issues. You are hit with this bright yellow warning banner stating, one or more calculated objects need to be manually refreshed.
My immediate reaction would be sheer panic. I would assume the agentic AI just corrupted the DAX code for all 54 measures.
Oh, panic is the natural human response there. But this introduces the most crucial safety habit of the entire process, which the source calls the refresh rule.
The refresh rule.
Right. The expert in our source text points out that simply clicking the refresh now button magically clears every single error.
Wait, why does a data refresh fix what looks like broken code?
Because the code isn't actually broken.
Hmm.
Remember how we routed the AI through the localhost port to access the underlying tabular object model metadata?
Yeah, we gave it a backdoor to the architecture.
Precisely. The MCP server made rapid structural changes to the metadata in the background, but the Power BI desktop user interface, the actual visual rendering you interact with, is often lagging behind those metadata changes.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it detects a discrepancy between what it remembers and what now exists in the code, so it throws an error. The absolute rule is this. Structural problems will falsely surface in the desktop interface until a full refresh forces the UI to sync with the new metadata.
Always refresh your data before you panic, and definitely before you assume the model is broken.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so we hit refresh, the warnings vanish, and we finally look at our new dedicated measure table. The folders are there, the measures are inside them. But as we analyze the actual output, we hit a bit of a reality check. The AI is not a flawless magical entity.
No, it's not. Let's look at how it executed that business domain grouping we asked for.
It was redundant. It was clunky. It should have made one parent folder called averages and aggregations with neat subfolders underneath for like cost, internet, and reseller.
Right, that's what a human would do.
Exactly. But instead, it created completely separate top-level folders named averages and aggregations slash cost and averages and aggregations slash internet. Conceptually, it understood the grouping we wanted. But execution-wise, it was messy.
Which brings us to the fundamental philosophical debate of working with agentic tools. Mm-hmm. Determinism versus iteration. You basically have two distinct paths.
Wait, If I have to spend 20 minutes writing a highly deterministic, incredibly granular prompt just to ensure it doesn't create redundant folder names, haven't I lost all the time I supposedly saved? At that point, I mean, I might as well just drag and drop the folders myself.
That is the exact friction point of the first path. If you demand a perfect result on the first try, you must spend significant upfront time engineering a rigid, foolproof prompt. You have to dictate the exact parent folder names, the exact subfolders, and the exact nesting hierarchy. You have to completely eliminate interpretation.
And what's the second path?
Iteration. You accept that the AI is an intern. You write a quote-unquote good enough prompt, let it take a swing, see the clunky redundant folders, and then you just utilize the chat interface to course correct.
Oh, so you just tell it to fix its mistake.
Yeah, you simply type. Consolidate those averages folders into a single parent folder with three subfolders.
So you trade upfront prompt engineering time for back-end follow-up conversations.
Yes. Neither workflow is inherently wrong, but you must consciously choose your strategy. If you do not dictate the exact parameters, you are committing to iteration.
Let's talk about the bottom line, because this brings us to efficiency and cost. Was this entire complex setup actually worth it? The statistics from the source breakdown are really fascinating.
Let's hear them.
Well, safely moving and organizing those 54 measures, navigating the approvals, and dealing with the clunky folders took the user about 30 to 40 minutes. But the expert estimates a seasoned BI developer could do the exact same manual drag and drop task in 30 to 90 minutes.
So in a best case scenario, the AI merely tied the human's time.
Which begs the question, why bother with all these local host ports and markdown files if it doesn't actually save time?
Because you're looking at the wrong variable. The advantage of agentic AI is not raw speed on simple tasks. It is relentless consistency at scale.
Ah, scale. The source illustrates this perfectly. Imagine a massive enterprise job, writing meaningful, consistent business descriptions for every single measure in a massive semantic model.
Right. For a human pro, agonizing over definitions, checking consistency, and physically typing that out, that's a brutal 3 to 6 hour job.
And a human gets fatigued.
But an AI does not.
Yeah.
Assuming the setup is correct and the human-in-the-loop checkpoints are respected, that same AI agent can execute that massive 6 hour documentation job in the exact same 30 to 40 minute window it took to organize the folders.
Wow.
Yeah. That is where the efficiency multiplier becomes undeniable.
But there is a massive catch regarding how we pay for that scale. This experiment was conducted using the free tier of GitHub Copilot. And having access to this level of technology for free is astounding. However, organizing just 54 measures, which is a relatively basic structural task, consumed almost 35% of the user's free tier credits.
Over a third of a monthly computational allowance burned on a single organizing sprint.
Mm.
That really exposes the hidden reality of agentic architecture.
So we have our safe blueprint. We know that agentic tasks require specific tools, explicit markdown plans, rigid human-in-the-loop approvals, and a strict adherence to the refresh rule.
We know how to let the AI organize the data without corrupting the model. It's entirely about transforming an inherently risky automated process into a highly controlled professional environment. You must remain the gatekeeper.
Absolutely. But I want to leave you with a completely different implication of this technology to chew on. We just established that an AI can perform the tedious 6 hour grunt work of a junior BI developer in about 40 minutes.
Right.
If safely organizing just 54 measures brings through 35% of a free tier's credits, how will the sheer economics of AI credits fundamentally reshape how data teams budget for complex, enterprise-level model development? Something for you to mull over. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.